We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
I got a joke for you, Bonte.
Bonte here. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Brandon Pazinski.
Oh, baby. We'll get the pods. We'll get to Steve Kerr. I think Willard the Dibs did a tremendous job with Steve Kerr last night. As the Warrior season is over and it's all hitting us, there is no more basketball for the rest of the 2023-24 season. We're going into the offseason full of questions. And I just keep coming back to this, Shasky. We're going to get into Steve Kerr. And good morning to everybody out there on YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings dividend. Open a First NorCal First Class Money Market today. You can now download the Odyssey app directly from our YouTube and Twitch pages. As we've added the QR code on both pages, shout out to the Xfinity Mobile text line. And shout out to our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. If you're going to call into the roast, you better bring it. Because if you don't, you will be flushed. Brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. We had a lot of good calls yesterday. For the people who couldn't get in yesterday, feel free to call back today. Get your thoughts on the offseason. Get your thoughts on the season. What the Warriors need to do. Who's got to go. Who's got to stay. But here in Steve Kerr, we're going to get into it. And I just keep coming back to this, Shasky. Were they a good team this year? I don't know. They went like 16 or 18-0 against the Detroits, the Charlottes, the worst teams in the league. The Spurs, they went 3-1 against the Blazers. All that stuff. Are they a good team? I don't really know. But I do know that they were in 10th place. And when I look behind the Golden State Warriors, San Antonio will get better. Houston will get better. Utah will get better. The Memphis Grizzlies will get a lot better with Ja Morant. They were the number two seed in the West the last 2 years. So in my mind, I keep telling myself, they're a 10th place team. It would be criminal if they just ran it back. They've got to make changes. Steve Kerr kind of hinted at it, but you've got to get bigger. You've got to get more athletic. I'm even watching the Bulls last night and Coby White. You know I love Coby White. He drops a 40-burger on the Atlanta Hawks. Now, Atlanta Hawks can't defend me and you. They can't defend you and I. It's just, they don't play defense. But I'm looking at how athletic Coby White is. I'm looking at DeMar DeRozan. I'm looking at how quick he is. They bring some guy Terry off the bench who's quick and athletic and would be one of the most athletic players on the Golden State Warriors. That is the league. And right now, I'm looking at the Golden State Warriors and how they were physically outmanned by the Sacramento Kings and how athletically, you know, gifted Sacramento looked compared to the Golden State Warriors. You can't possibly run this back.
Well, and I think there's two big dominoes that start, right? So, I didn't realize how absurd this salary cap is in terms of crushing teams like the Warriors. Bonte, if Chris Paul opts in, they're $4 million. If they opt into his contract, they're $4 million over the top of the cap. Meaning they would lose all draft capital.
Second apron.
Yes. Draft capital moving forward.
Because we have the first apron and the second apron.
Yes. To be able to make moves. So all the draft capital, it would just... That's before they would re-sign Klay Thompson. Mm-hmm. Now let's say they allow Chris Paul to become a free agent. They decline his option or waive him or whatever the technical term is. They've only got about $30 million under that apron. And that's if they get rid of Kevon Looney.
So the second apron, $182.5 million. The first apron's $172 million. And the luxury tax starts at $165. And they're repeat tax offenders.
Which means it would be
when you're in the repeater tax, that dollar amount goes up.
So basically, it's 1.8. So for argument's sake, it's 2x that you're paying.
Yeah.
So if you give, even if it's CP3, if I give CP3 the $30 million, I'm paying $60 million for that $30 million player. So like I just don't think people understand. I don't even know if the players fully understand because it's that complicated. they're really in a bind here. And I've thought about it long and hard, and I've thought about different ways that they could flip this thing around. And I'm not saying this is where I'm at today, so just bear with me, B. But I do think that there's some argument, and look, you are going to risk alienating Steph Curry. There is an argument for like, hey, maybe we just shred payroll here. And just like, and I know no one wants to flirt with pissing off Steph Curry, and I get that. But there is an avenue of like, we might be best not bringing back a lot of guys.
Well, this financially. Is where I'm at. This is where I'm at. And hearing Steve Kerr and Willard and Dibbs say this made me really wrap my brain around what's going on with this basketball team and what could happen over the next 3 to 5 years. Here's what Steve Kerr said about the payroll.
Personally, I don't think it makes sense to have a massive payroll right now with our team. It just doesn't. You know, to spend that kind of money, and Joe has been incredibly generous and so aggressive and really attacking, looking for championships. But at some point, you can't spend this much money for a team that didn't make the playoffs. So we have a lot of decisions to make and a lot of questions to answer. So those things are all kind of thrown into the pot, and you have to figure it out.
And then, not only that, did he say that, because I'm with him there. Joe Lacob just paid for the most expensive roster in NBA history, did not make the playoffs. That's the reality of it. I don't care what you think, how you felt about the 46 wins. You know, you played well on the road, but you didn't play well at home. You're 21-20. You're in 10th place in the Western Conference. And the Western Conference is not going to get any easier next season. You're in 10th place with the most expensive roster. How the hell can you justify bringing this roster back and spending that type of money when you're in 10th place? It just doesn't make sense. But also, are the Warriors still a championship contender? Are they a contender right now? Here's what Kerr had to say about that.
It'd be hard for me sitting here with our season over on April 17th, whatever it is, to tell you that we are a championship contender. That would be not the brightest comment I could ever make. You know, I mean, you have to prove that. You can't just say you're a contender. You have to prove it. So, you know, right now we're not, but we have. That's why we have an off season. That's why you talk to other teams. That's why you look at every possibility to build your roster back up. Every year, I'm always surprised at the deals that happen for any team. You just don't know. So you have to go into the summer with an open mind, and you know, who knows? There might be some deal that Mike and Joe feel like, you know, gets us back into contention. Maybe there isn't. If there's not, then you know, what are we looking at? What's the goal? What are we trying to accomplish?
So what are we trying to accomplish moving forward? What are we trying to accomplish? Now, I get a lot of people want to, and I want to see this. I want Steph to get number 5. But what is that avenue to getting number 5? You know, and it's a long, it's the journey to get to number 5 right now looks longer than it did a season ago. It looks longer than it did 4 months ago. With this payroll and with you having to shed salary, and you have to make a big decision on Klay Thompson, what's it worth? Is it best for Klay to get his money here? Is it best for Klay to move on? Is it best for the Warriors to bring Klay back? I get the loyalty aspect of it. I want to see all these three players retire as they go to St. Warrior, but I also want to win. I want to watch a team who wins games, who competes at a high level.
But running it back, and I don't mean to pause you there, but running it back is just simply not good enough.
On the court.
And then there's the other component of, like, Michelle and I have this conversation all the time. I go, Michelle, it's got a pencil, meaning it's got to make sense on the profit loss margin sheets. Like if you go to anywhere and you go to buy a vehicle or whatever, they're going to run a credit report and they're going to be like, well, does the income justify you paying us back? Yeah. What are your expenses? And I just don't think enough people really truly understand that this is unsustainable.
No, people do understand.
You do?
That, yeah, absolutely.
When you don't make the playoffs.
People understand what this payroll is. You're paying for an expensive payroll. You're expected to be a top 6 team just baked in off the money that you're spending on this roster. Now, the roster, in return, finished in 10th place in the Western Conference. And you can pick apart situations. You can pick apart Draymond Green suspensions. Mm-hmm. You can pick apart Chris Paul and the injury. You can pick apart Andrew Wiggins and his slow start. And Wiggins, to his credit, he said it yesterday. I was just not good enough.
Understand.
And you know what? The accountability, I'll accept that.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that we have to roll it back. Because if you roll it back, then all of a sudden I'm blocking Kuminga from flourishing. Because I need to see who Kuminga is. it's time for him to play 30 minutes a game, and you just go out there and let him cook. And the same thing may be said for Moses Moody. You may need to just see him for 20 to 25 games for a season. But then with that said, you have Stephen Curry. And Stephen Curry just wants to win. Now, how do you just win without breaking his team apart and trying to go get... Because not only do you need a co-star, you may need a new number one. Steph Curry may be in a situation where he's dropping down to as the number two option, a very legit two option, but as a number one leading a championship team, I don't know if he's that guy no more after looking at all the numbers post-All-Star break. I'm not blaming Steph Curry for the season. Man. I'm just saying he shot 36% since the All-Star break.
I'll meet you in the middle, and I'll say... I just don't think everything could be created around him. And I think the last 3 years, every single draft pick, every single acquisition was saw through the prism of, well, can you run this very specific thing that Steph's going to run? And now I think he's got a slight adjustment to make. You could still have a lot of things tailored in his direction.
No doubt.
But I'm with you on, like, on any given night, he can be your one. But... Every night? No.
He looked tired, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Steve Kerr mentioned
that.
He looked tired. There was multiple people said, boy, Steph doesn't look as fresh. And he needed that day off against the Utah Jazz after playing that Dallas game Friday night. Hell, he had to play 36 minutes against Portland. You don't think that ate into his legs the next night against New Orleans Pelicans? They were all over him. And he still went out there, you know, went 7-13 from 3 and 33 points. But boy, he had the 7 turnovers because the Pelicans made him work relentlessly. The Kings made him work relentlessly as you see these longer, more active defenders. Which leads me to Steve Kerr. Basically talk about how much we need size, Shasky. This team needs size, and Steve Kerr recognizes that.
Well, last night you could see we were overwhelmed physically. They were getting every long rebound, every loose ball. That's where we really missed Gary yesterday. He's a guy who gets a lot of extra possessions for us. But, there are times, and some of it is, you know, when we're playing our best players, we tend to be on the small side. So, you know, it's a tough combination when, you know, if you're getting beat athletically and with size, you know, you've got to be perfect to win games. And so I do think we need to be a little bigger, a little more athletic.
That's, I mean, we all see that, right, Shasky?
But it's not just Curry. I think that they also have a Draymond problem. And what I mean by Draymond, he's a good player in a vacuum. But who you surround him with offensively and defensively is extremely important. You know, they tried to play TJD alongside of him against the Kings early on. TJD cannot guard on the perimeter, right? And so if Dre's going to be guarding Sabonis, just look at the and that's just one example. One example. It was very difficult for TJD to guard whoever else out on the perimeter. Yeah. You're leaving him open and vulnerable. And so then there's the offensive component of, you know, if Dre's going to be the four and he's not going to be a stretch four, now you're even you're complicating your offense of half-court sets. So, like, I the schematics of having Draymond Green, he brings a lot of good things to the table. But I don't think we're also accounting. I know you are accounting for, like, it limits you, and you have to have very specific pieces opposite him.
Well, this is why I always say he needs to be more aggressive.
Yes,
because he's the guy who's going to be wide open at the top of the key.
All day.
This is what frustrates me about Draymond Green at times. During the last year when they won 15 games, I thought it was the perfect opportunity for him to get up at least 10 threes a game and just shoot his shot, just work on his game, knowing that Steph's going to be back. Clay's going to be back. We have Wiggins now. Guess who's going to be wide open in the half-court offense? It's me. Because what Sacramento did, they sat on the split action. They took that away Tuesday night. Not only did they take away the split action, but how many times did Draymond Green try to throw the lob on the 4-3? They were sitting on the lob threat. So if Draymond's not going to be a lob threat, and he's not going to be a great roller who can go to the basket and finish, and if he's not going to shoot a bunch of threes from the top of the key that presents themselves offensively, then yes, there needs to be an evolution in the offense. There needs to be some tinkering here because Steph Curry's running miles after miles after miles after miles, and it's like, that's not good for a 36-year-old. That's not good. He's going to be 37 next year.
I know.
Running around on those legs
but,
like
but,
that.
But I, I personally believe you take more of an exhaustion holding the ball and bringing it up and
that's what I'm saying.
And engaging. The off-ball stuff is still wear and tear, though.
It's still wear and tear.
But not as much as like a James Harden with the ball in his hand. And I know a lot of people want that more. See, like to me, they need a natural number one point guard. But it's a bigger guard.
A combo guard.
Yes.
A DeJounte Murray, who I watched last night.
It's a good example.
Him and Trae Young don't fit.
No doubt.
They don't fit.
No doubt.
DeJounte, I think, is the better overall player.
I would agree with that.
Somebody like that, or maybe even a little, you know, maybe even a little taller, but DeJounte Murray, a guy like that, is a good starting point.
Okay, so like, I'm looking at all the woulda, coulda, shouldas, and one that stuck out to me, and I don't even know if this is fair. I'm not trying to do a retcon of the deadline, but knowing more about the cap that I do now, and I know that the GM knows this, I know that the owner knows this, whatever. You know, they really whiff not trading Chris Paul. They're not going to get anything for him. They're not going to bring him back. They're probably going to have to waive him. Like, just knowing how dire their cap is,
right?
They're getting nothing for him.
Probably
absolutely
not.
Nothing for
Unless
him in return.
Unless they opt in and try to trade him for the $30 million, but you may not get as much value back.
And you didn't play him in that game very much. So, like, to me, it was like a double whammy. And then I look at it, it's like, you basically re-signed Jordan Poole and you spun the Jordan Poole monster year into nothing.
You know, and Chris Paul's gone.
That one hurt me now that I've thought about it.
Well, I don't want to do high. I don't.
No,
I don't,
but I'm saying but that's you. Bad asset that it's, allocation. It's,
no, it is.
And understanding
is,
value.
But I understand what was going on at the deadline. One, you're thinking, boy, maybe we got to run in this.
That's your job as a GM beyond the forest.
But see, Mike Dunleavy's the first year on the job. We don't know what he was allowed to do. We don't know what his role was in that deadline. And for them, saying, boy, if we trade Paul, we're not really getting much. You're probably not going to get much anyway from him. So why not just keep him, have him? Because I think he was important for the rookies. I think that value there over the last 26 games to keep Jonathan Kuminga cool, to keep Moses Moody's head on straight, to keep Brendan Podziemski involved, even when he's slumping, I think Chris Paul was very important for this team. I get the argument that, hey, man, we should have flipped him at the deadline and this and that.
It's revisionist for me.
But it's revisionist history.
I admit it.
Because we were not talking about that at the deadline. You're trying to get better, but how much better are you going to get by trading Chris Paul? The whole league knows if you're trading Chris Paul, they're not going to pivot and be like, hey, here you go to State. Here's a dominant player for Chris Paul. You know what I'm saying?
It's not about acquiring a player. It's just you're literally losing him for nothing, right? And so, like, it's similar to the Kevin Durant thing. Like, I'd rather get something as opposed to nothing.
Right.
And this is where they're at. Like, financially, they're up against it. Like, even if they waive Chris Paul and they get nothing for him, they've only got about $30 million to play with.
Whoa.
And then if they sign Clay and another guy, you lose your mid-level no matter what.
Right.
But if you sign Clay and another couple guys to round out the rest of the roster, now you've limited the amount of draft capital you could package in a deal moving forward. Like, that's the part. Like, even if Clay takes this massive pay cut that people want him to take.
Which I don't see happening.
I don't either. And look at
it. And honestly, watching Clay, I want to get into Clay because he looked very uncomfortable at the podium yesterday. I watched him at the podium, looked very quirky, looked very uncomfortable. And it just, I don't know, man.
You know where he is?
You gotta make the pivot.
Bonte, you know where he is? Like, unfortunately, I feel like he's in the uncomfortable Pablo Sandoval zone where I just... There's this finance, there's this contract, there's this loyalty, there's this frustration from him, from Fed, like everything, and it's just, I think everybody's going to regret this 10 years from now, and they're going to look back at these last couple of years and be like, yeah, we were too harsh as a fan base. He was in a tough spot. Like, there's just a lot of,
But you know what? For him and for the Warriors,
I agree.
It may be best to move on. When we're talking about the evolution of the offense,
right, I'm coming
around
on it.
We're looking at Klay Thompson in this offense, and what's best for him, he needs easier shots. He needs shot creators around him. The Warriors don't have enough shot creators. They just don't. They don't have enough two-way players. They have a lot of specialty players. They got to figure out to get five-thirds on the floor at once offensively. You got to get guys who can play both ways. We'll continue the conversation. We're in day two of the Warriors offseason. 888-957-9570. What's your thoughts on hearing from Steve Kerr? Thought Willard and Dibbs did a tremendous job interviewing
Phenomenal.
Him yesterday. Great interview. Had me in my car
it's
stuck.
On YouTube.
YouTube, Odyssey. We'll replay a lot of the cuts from that interview. The Warriors had their in-season pressers. Podziemski, Wiggins, Clay, Chris Paul, Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga. We got all that sound as we wrap it up here. Anthony Slater is going to join us later in the program. That's all coming up. Brought to you by Prize Picks.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.